Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nightlight. I think the only thing missing in that intro was "and a good all-round girl." It's a wonderful intro. I didn't write it, but it's a wonderful intro. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you in to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to all spiritual workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of light and life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles or labels. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and, well, that list, it goes on and on and on. And the label really doesn't matter as much as the spiritual purpose behind the way we live our lives and the way we walk our lives. And as unique and eclectic as the titles and labels are, so too are we. We all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our very own individual ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in that turmoil that we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and today, medium Sarah May, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We'll be doing readings shortly, and if you would like one, call in for it soon because that line, it does get very, very long after a while. Call-in number is 347-857-2139. Jeannie is in the chat room. She's me co-host. And she can answer all of your questions. I don't multitask well, so she's the one you should IM, flood her, and I'll just kind of crank on through the rest of it. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that absolutely amazing voice. He also has a spectacular show on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. It's called Hawk's Nest. And if you are an addict as to the early radio shows, as I am, you will thoroughly enjoy that show. It is spectacular, and it takes you back to a time that was magical. And I think it's kind of sad that radio no longer really, to my knowledge, has the kind of entertainment that once it did. I can remember as a young child sitting in the dark listening to Fibber McGee and Molly and oh my gosh, The Shadow, and all of those other wonderful shows that just made your imagination, it stretched your imagination, and it put you into a whole, oh gosh, another dimension, another aspect, another life. It's, you know, virtual reality. I'm afraid it's much too virtual. I think that our imaginations are not being used as much as they should, and those old radio shows certainly do that. They entertain, they enlighten, they give you a sense of being a part of a story, because you have to picture what's going on. And while they clearly are a bit dated, they are so genuinely entertaining without having to, you know, reach to the extremes that so much of the entertainment today does. So, Hawk's Nest, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll thoroughly enjoy it, and you'll hear more of that spectacular voice. I wish he could bottle it. He'd make a fortune. I'm at BarbaraDeLong.com, and I'm not sure what Sarah May's email is. I know that you can... You can reach her via Facebook, and hopefully, you know, when she calls in, and I know she's going to because she has contacted me already twice today, she'll give you her contact information. I want to thank everybody for all of the support you've given me as I've been battling this incredible sinus infection. But, you know, I'm certainly back in the saddle. And I so appreciate all of the very kind things that everybody sent to me via Facebook and Skype and everywhere. one thing that hasn't actually been mentioned today, which, you know, will absolutely traumatize just a little bit of Jeannie, it's her birthday today. And while she's not really, really old, she is a year older, and apparently, I'm not sure whether she's excited about having a birthday today or not, but do wish Jeannie a happy birthday, because she works very, very hard for very, very little pay. Well, no pay, actually. I'm gonna just kind of talk for a little bit waiting for Sarah May to call in, because I know all of you really want to hear from her as well. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about the philosophy of philosophies. And there is a philosophy is a thought process. It's a way of analyzing information. It's a way of understanding concepts within your life. And if you go back to the philosophers of the 600s, 700s, back in that time frame, of course they had just their own, that time period to draw reference from. So even when they were speculating on what the future would be, you know, their imaginations could only stretch so far. And every generation, every century, every decade brings to us another aspect of philosophy that we can reach into and sort of help to apply to our understanding of the world and the reality that we're in. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people learn a concept and they stick to it and they don't apply the new vocabulary, the new insight that is gathered constantly all the time. So I would love for you to sort of take a look at some of the things that you have held as carved in stone and can't be changed, and apply the vocabulary and the wisdom of the time that we're in. Recently, they've been doing a lot of stuff, reinterpretation of the Bible, not of the concepts taught there, because, you know, love and beauty and caring and giving, you know, those are major biggies. But a lot of the other things in the Bible are now being sort of reinterpreted with the understanding and the wisdom of the time. Sort of like, you know, the UFOs that are in there and a lot of the other concepts. It's important for our philosophies to grow, as do we, for them to expand into the time we're living in, and for us to apply them to the older philosophies so that we can have a greater enlightenment as to what the ancients were trying to teach us. And I've been sort of doing a lot of looking back over a lot of the philosophies that I grew up with, and there's a greater understanding of, okay, this was something that was made law, so to speak, because of the time, but that time is no longer now. When the Jewish religion told people not to eat pork, it was not, the reason was not a religious one. It was actually a safety one because pork was carried a great deal of bacteria, and people got sick from eating the pork, and therefore they just made a law and said, don't eat pork. And the meaning behind the law no longer applies to this time, and yet it is still something that is a very, you know, carved in stone tradition for the Jewish religion. So, you know, I would, and I'm not saying the Jews should change and eat pork. I'm just trying to point out that there are laws that had a purpose when they were created, but that doesn't mean that law is going to be a constant throughout all of time. And I think that even as far as government goes and as far as major religions go, our lifestyles and how we function within our reality and the ability that we have to impact our reality has changed so dramatically that it's really important for us to constantly be going back and rechecking just what it is we truly believe in. And it's okay for a belief to grow, and it's okay for a belief to evolve into the time that it serves. Not the very, very basics, not the fundamentals of it, not the element of love and faith and trust and all of those things. Those are constants within our lives. But some of the stories, some of the philosophies that have been woven for us to teach us lessons now don't have the same meaning. The lesson absolutely is the same, but perhaps the story should be evolved, or perhaps maybe new stories should be created so that we understand, you know, so the lesson is more easily learned by the generations that are now coming up. My grandchildren never would have understood a black and white TV, excuse me, and not even probably the fact that there were times when there wasn't TV, there was just radio, and then there were times when there wasn't radio. excuse me, they don't understand how a lot of people, you know, they read in books about how people traveled in their covered wagons across the country to settle the West, but the concept of the land that they covered and the distance that they traveled is nothing because they fly coast to coast, you know, casually. There's just so much within our reality at this particular point in time that no longer has the impact it once did. The lessons that it's meant to teach are sort of falling by the wayside. And, you know, things like honoring your father and your mother. I mean, I sadly look around and I don't see that anymore. And that's a very good rule to have. There are so many things that today's generations are not even being taught. You know, forget the fact that they're not paying attention to them. They're not being taught. And I think that it behooves us of making sure that our children are taught the important things. I have friends whose children eat in front of the television. They don't gather around a table and talk anymore. And when I think of the history that I learned being bored to death around the dining room table every Sunday, but it taught me something about my family and where I came from and where I'm going. And, well, maybe not where I'm going, but where I came from. And when I try to share that information with my son, whom I love and is a wonderful son, he there's a song about, you know, not now, son, maybe later, and then it turns out that there isn't time later type stuff. He says, well, write it down so I'll know about it. And basically he's saying, when you croak, I won't throw out the antiques, which is a little scary, but that, yeah, it is. It's Cats in the Cradle. Thank you. But it's important for us. It's critical for us and it is our legacy to leave to those generations. They may not listen to it. They might someday read it. And if you put it on YouTube, I guarantee they'll watch it if it's less than 15 minutes. And maybe those of us who are older, I don't know how old an elder has to be an elder, but I'm 70, so maybe I'm an elder in training. But it's just, I think that we shouldn't we shouldn't feel badly because the old ways don't work anymore. We should be courageous enough to try to step into the technology that they are listening to and put that message there in some way, shape, or form that they will listen to it. I think rap is horrible. I hate rap. I think I can't understand most of it. But what's wrong with somebody putting into rap history as they know it? What's wrong with us putting into a form of education where the younger people are going to look at it and just share with them? It's so scary, and Sarah Beth, medium Sarah is Sarah May. Jeannie is calling from England, and I know she knows about the show, so I know she'll be here as soon as she figures it out. But I'm going to get back to my rant. I think that those of us are I'm a fanatical about it, and so it's sort of like there have to be more of me out there. I can't be the only one shouting in the wind. I know there are other grandparents and there are other parents that are feeling the same kind of sadness. That, you know, okay. So an example. My grandmother used to make dresses for my sister and I for Easter and for Christmas. And when my mother passed away, I found one of those dresses that my grandmother and mother made for me when I was 6 years old. And it was red velvet. My grandmother made it by hand, and the lace on it was made by my great-grandmother. And I saved it, and I took it with me when I went to visit my son and grandchildren at Christmas time, and I took it with me, and it fit my granddaughter perfectly, and she looked beautiful in it. And it was just, it was amazing to see that dress, that, you know, that it lived for 61 years on somebody else. And she thanked me, and she thought it was wonderful, and my son and daughter-in-law thought it was spectacular that she wore it to her concert. It was really a cool thing. And I think for the very first time ever, when I watched her playing her piano recital, I saw my mother and grandmother standing there, and that was spectacular for me. And I said to Jenna, who was six, and Carol, my daughter-in-law, was there too, I said, okay, now you save it for your child when you have one, and I want a picture of your child, your daughter, in it. Don't put a son in it. And, you know, and everybody thought that was wonderful. And before I left, I went in to say, you know, goodbye to Jenna in her bedroom. And the dress was under a pile of dirty clothes on the floor. And all I could think of was, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know, just because you treasured it didn't mean that anybody else is going to. And, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to pick it up and take it with me, but I didn't. And so it's sort of like, if we can't give that kind of understanding of a not a worship but a respect to history and time, if we haven't taught it to them one way, we should not turn around and say, well, screw that, I'm not, you know, it's not up to me. But it is up to us. It is absolutely up to us to put that lesson across in ways that they'll listen to, in ways that they'll pay attention to. And instead of holding to the old ways and those old traditions that you know, have gotten us this far, I'm not saying the traditions aren't good. I think the traditions are fabulous. But the lessons that they taught, we have to find another way, a new way of teaching it to them so that they respect it, so that it's implanted within their consciousnesses. I don't care if they actually even understand it. If somebody could write a rap song that talked about history and family and love and community and made it so that it was so good and so rhythmic and so enjoyable that people sang it, and if they listen to it and sing it, it's embedded within their consciousnesses, and then you know, then it becomes a lesson. It becomes a part of their life, and it becomes something that they will then in turn impart upon their children. So it's really important for us to not lose faith, lose hope, or quit. And I have to admit, I felt like quitting a lot with a lot of the stuff. I have stuff that in my family that goes back for 200-300 years. And there's a part of me that is very, very sad that you know, once I decide to pass over and go on to the other side, that for the most part, a lot of it is going to be just sort of sold or gotten rid of or given away. And, you know, yeah, they're things, and that's true. They are things, but they are also history. And I think we have to find another way of teaching the important kinds of history to our children so that they can pass it on to their children. And the native folk have the most beautiful, beautiful stories about creation and the earth and the moons and the stars, and it's just phenomenal, and they're beautiful, and they are timeless. And unfortunately, there aren't enough people that recognize that the Native Americans have a history that predates that of this country, that their traditions go way beyond the beginning of when there were colonists here, and the magic and the power within their stories is profound, and yet they aren't shared and they aren't taught, so that there is a need to, I think I'm preaching here rebellion, and I guess in a way I am. I think the old ways don't work. I think that we need to do them and redo them so that not only will the generations of children that are out there now really learn more of the truth, and that we can leave a legacy that we know is going to be honored, and sometimes not everybody is going to pay attention, but if just a few people do and pass it on, it becomes living legend, and it becomes a verbal legend, and it becomes mysteries and secrets and magic that is passed down through the generations. We can't quit and let go. We have to find a way to put our messages across, because if we don't find a way to put our messages across, the wisdoms that we've protected and that we've gathered and that we've held on to for so many generations become lost. And yes, and New Moon Rising is doing the same thing. Yes, absolutely, she's doing her part. And she has a radio show as well, and I please put it in the chat room so people can check that one out. It's a magical piece of life that those of us who are older hold on to and respect and treasure. And if you can't cram it down their throats one way, find another way to cram it down their throats. That's putting it a bit harshly, but the reality is I have something to share with them. And I taught school for 25 years, and I found that in every lesson that I taught the children, there was something that was not in the textbook that was shared with them that got them laughing, that made them, and they will remember those things. I served in the pulpit for 5 years in a spiritualist church. I found that the things that were that people remembered about the sermons that I gave, and I wouldn't call them sermons, I call them sharing, but the things that they remembered were the stories I told about growing up spiritually, and how I had messed up and how it didn't work and how perhaps another way was this way, but try it, try yourself, make your own mistakes, but don't make mine because I've already done them. So I think that there is a real, real, real important charge to us as we get older. It's important that we not be defeated by technology, but we use it as a weapon against the ignorance that the youth is beginning to portray to us. I'm going to have to go back in archives and write that down. I mean, don't turn the weapon into a tool and teach with it, even if it's repulsive, like rapping. It doesn't have to be rapping. But I mean, people like Ken and New Moon Rising, they're putting their stories out there on the Internet. Children listen to the Internet. They pay attention to the Internet. May not listen in the classroom, but they listen to the Internet. Anybody can make a YouTube video. I've even done it. And if I can do it, then any idiot can do it. So let's stop being defeated by technology and use it as a teaching tool. not necessarily of history, which is constantly changing and evolving, but to give them the moral fiber that they can use to get through anything that they are faced with in the future, to give them stories, to give them legends, to give them ways of dealing with things that go outside of the box. I find it, you know, I'm staggered by the internet and the technology myself. Happily, I have a lot of people around me that help me with this, but it's important that we do this. It's important that, you know, there is a legacy that each and every one of us has to share and to give. And don't be sad or defeated because people aren't accepting the legacy that you want to hand out. Put it out there in another way so that they're going to stumble over it even if you're not around. You can put an e-book out there. Anybody can put an e-book out there. And you know, do the history of the family that way if you want to. I found that my grandchildren were very, very much into the Revolutionary War. And my grandson asked me if I remembered it, and I told him, of course I did. I voted for George Washington. And, you know, he said, really? And I said, as a matter of fact, you had a relative that traveled with George Washington, and this is true. I don't know how many greats it was, but it was one of the ancestors who enlisted, and he was only 12 years old. And Washington didn't, and he was the tailor's apprentice. Washington didn't want him on the battlefield, so he took him with him, and his, you know, our relative repaired George Washington's pants throughout the entire Revolutionary War. So, and I promise you, my grandson will remember that story. I've heard him tell it to friends. So there are ways of doing it, and I think we should not get depressed because we can't board them around the kitchen table like we were. There were times when I was, you know, lip-syncing my mother and grandmother talking the family history, but you know what? I learned it, and it's important. And so I think that we just have to grow up a little bit and not let technology get in our way and find another way of putting these wonderful moral stories out there so our children have something to fall back on and something, not necessarily even family history, just, you know, this is the way it was and this is why things happened. You know, that thing about those who don't know history are cursed to repeat it is very, very true. So, and another thing you can do, I burned all the family memories and history onto CDs and gave them to my son as a gift of memories one Christmas. And he probably hasn't listened to them yet, but as soon as I'm not around anymore to bore him with them, I'm very, very sure that he will listen to them and that there will be something that he picks up from them. So that let's not be defeated by age and technology. Let's use it to our advantage and really smash through some wonderful, wonderful, you know, truths. There are universal truths, and with the kind of world we live in, universal truths get swept by the wayside with politics and some religious fanatics and stuff like that, and we don't want them to not have something to use and something to fall back on. I don't see that Sarah Mae has called in yet, but I'm going to start doing some readings because the queue is getting long, and we'll see if we can energetically bring her in. I know that she had the right time because she posted it on Facebook, so something must have happened to delay her. Probably she was, out of deep respect for the tirade I was going to go on, just decided to wait until I was done talking to call in. We can always hope, guys. Okay. We have Kathleen in Mass. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Good. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm going to stop lecturing now.
Okay. Listen, I have a quick question. It's
sure.
About employment. I have been out of work for over 10 years, and a friend of mine has a carpet cleaning business, and he had offered me a position doing telemarketing, which I've done before out of the office, but he still needs someone to go on the road to the places that I make appointments for, and I thought I'd have this 2 or 3 weeks by now. Can you tell me when you see me start working again?
Sure. First of all, I think this is wonderful. I think you're going to be spectacular at it.
Good.
It feels to me that he's just having trouble putting everything in place. I do feel that there is a job here, and I do feel that on top of everything else, it's perfect for you, and you're going to do very well with it. I feel strongly that April is where I see things coming together for you. And
okay.
That's only a week or so away, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so you think the beginning of April?
I'm just getting the month of April. I can't tell you if we're in the beginning or in the end of it, but I do know that however long it takes, it's sort of, you have a lot of loose ends you need to tie up. You have a lot of things that you need to take care of. And it feels like you've put everything on hold waiting for this to come through. And the reality is you should be kind of getting your wardrobe ready, getting, you know, whatever last minute things you have to do where you might need to take off work to do. I don't know, like dentist appointments and things like that is what I'm saying.
I've already started that procedure with the dentist, yes, because I have major work to be done.
Okay,
caps,
so
rounds, whatever. The thing is, I just want to make sure this is long-lasting. See, the thing is, I'd be pulling out the files and calling old customers. And I have really been out of the workforce for so long. I have no problem selling. It's the different, you know, the computers, spreadsheets, whatever he's going to have me do. That's what frightens me.
Well, you're a fast learner.
Well, I'm old.
Okay, so how old are you?
56.
I'm 70. Give it a rest. If you're old, I'm ancient, and I won't cop to ancient. So,
okay, don't cop to ancient.
So sorry. Old is not an excuse. Scared? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, not having the technology at your fingertips? Learn it. You could spend this time taking some computer catch-up stuff. There are lots of tutorials
the internet.
On the internet, thank
don't
you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, spreadsheet is nothing. It's Excel. It's a piece of cake. I know how to do Excel.
So you feel like I will catch on quick and I'll do a good job from, because I don't want this to be temporary. I need to have more. I have
no,
to supplement the income I'm getting.
No, this is not temporary, but you've been hanging around finding excuses to be frightened instead of trying to do something about that. So you need to, you know, if you're worried about spreadsheets, then get on the internet and learn Excel. Just about everybody has Excel on their computer. So learn to play with it. Get some familiarity with it. You have friends who know how to do spreadsheets, and they're probably laughing at you for being afraid of this.
Well, you know, the person that he's going to be hiring to go out on the road, and I'd be making the appointments, the person he'd be hiring, I want to know also if we'd have a good rapport with each other.
Yeah.
Whoever he hires.
Yeah. Well, you don't have trouble, you know, talking to people. You know, you don't have any problem with stuff like that. You know what? You've just had so much time trying
off
to think about the things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
That you're not looking at the things that can go right. Here you've been offered this job. This is a job.
I know. I'm just waiting for him to hire me. I called him yesterday. He says, you know, I can't hire you yet. I have to wait to get another person to go out on the road for the appointments you make. So until that happens, I don't have a job. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think you've got the job. I really do. And have you told him that you would go out on the road?
No, I can't. I told him only in the office because I have panic attacks so bad. I feel like I'm going to die, and I've had them since I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't
even
stay in church or whatever. My mother would take me out. I felt like I was going to pass out. And I can't drive highways.
Okay, but the reality is there's a lot you can do, and you're still making a list of what you can't do instead of what you can do.
No, and I know he wants me to go out on the road for him. That's what he'd like me to do, and I just cannot do it. But I just wanted to see if you, saw me working soon for him, because I'm running out of resources, cash, you know.
Yeah, no, it does feel here as though April is when it's going to happen. But between now and whenever he calls you, for heaven's sake, get on YouTube and check out Excel and check out spreadsheets and, you know, spend the time giving yourself the tools that you're going to need instead of listing the things that you don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put out comes to you.
Put into it, yeah.
And
all
if,
right.
If, law of attraction.
I know
if,
that.
If you, okay, well, you're not using it. I mean,
I made a poster board for it, and nothing came out, and that was for a relationship and marriage years ago,
mm-hmm.
and not a bloody thing came out.
And I went through
bride's books and everything.
Okay, but also, did you become the person you wanted to have in your life? I mean, that's another part of it. And if you want to attract to yourself a certain kind of person, you have to become that kind of person. And all of us always need work. I mean, if you were perfect, you wouldn't be here. Neither would I. I mean,
yeah,
none of
yeah.
us would be. So lots of times when the law of attraction absolutely works, absolutely. But you know, it feels like you were doing a lot of the superficial stuff instead of, you know, what kind of person do I want in my life? What kind of a philosophy of life do they have? What are their goals? How are they joyful? Do they go through life joyful? And are they the kind of person that everybody wants to be around? Are they a magnetic personality? You know, there are a lot of those things. And if you can list things you want in a mate, really, then you take a look and you say, okay, am I all of these aspects? Is this me? Am I describing myself? And if you're not describing yourself, then you should become that person so that you will attract that person into your life. Law
mm-hmm.
of attraction works. It does work. And I can tell you the last three vision boards I did, everything on them came true with the exception of one thing. And I was really extreme. I might have been too. I asked for everything. I asked for publication. I asked for television and radio. I asked for, my God, more readings. I asked for a soulmate. I asked for, I loaded that thing down so it wouldn't hang on the wall. And everything came true. And the only thing that did not come true, I put a $20 bill on there with extra zeros, and I think I was too greedy because $20 million is not in my savings account.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but everything else came true. Everything. So it was a matter
Maybe
of...
Maybe I should just start over a new one.
Sounds good, and, you know, don't describe the person necessarily. Just ask the universe to give you your soulmate and your partner for life.
Yeah.
And you know, don't go into, you know, physical.
But my biggest thing right now is work. I can't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that work is a good thing to focus on. And you know, yeah, do a vision board. But also, you know, a lot of the stuff you're worried about is so easy to learn. Learn it before you go in so that you've got it under your belt.
Okay. All
okay.
right. Thank you, Barbara. Okay. I appreciate
thank
your time.
You.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, it looks like we've lost Barbara. She will be right back in. She'll be right back with us. Barbara will be.
Okay, I am back, I think. It feels like Jeannie panicked and put on some music. Cat walked over the phone. That happens in this house. I do apologize. Sarah Mae is calling in. She got time frame difference, time zone difference, kind of got her messed up, and so she will be shortly here. I think there was a while there were a couple of weeks there where there was only 4 hours difference, and then we went on, no, there was 5 hours difference, and we went on daylight savings time, and there were 4 hours difference, and now there are 5 hours difference again. I'm not exactly sure what the whole back and forth, east and west, daylight saving times and not. And so so I will carry on. She's still 4 hours different? All righty. So whatever it is, we got our times messed up. I did put it on the post, but maybe she didn't read the post. Anyhow, I'm sure she'll be here shortly, so don't lose hope. In the meantime, you've got me. So we've got Carrie in South Africa. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you. What's up with you today?
My cat says hello to all your menagerie. Hello again. Yeah, there we go. Another pot. your love's been cold breath. So anyway, let me shut up. Any general reading. Throw me under the bus, let it rip, whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, let's really throw you under the bus then. I mean, if you're up for being trampled, then let's really do a good job of it. I mean, listen, not just play. I mean, it and you know, normally when people say a general reading, they're not really sure what they're looking for. But you know, it feels to me here that what you've got here is a time of real spiritual awakening. And it feels like there is so much going on here, and you are so gifted in and of your own right that what's going on is that you're sort of a little afraid of a lot of stuff, and you're sort of wanting more. And there's a part of your spirit saying, "Oh, thank God, she's finally waking up. Maybe we can get through to her now." And then there's a part of you saying, "I don't know if I really want the responsibility, and I don't want to hurt anybody, and I don't want to say the wrong thing to somebody." That's going back and forth with your higher consciousness. I have to tell you that in past lives, in a number of past lives, you have been what I would call a prophet. You have been what I would call a truth giver, and in many traditions you were one of those that lived on mountains and ate twigs and, you know, gave people the wisdom of the ages even if they didn't want it. And then you had a lifetime where you got carried away with the power that you had and the ability you had to not only utilize your powers to help people and to give them confirmation and to give them respect, but you made a profit from it, and you manipulated people with it. And you really did it because you were so powerful. You did an amazing job of screwing up. And so this lifetime is one in which there is a greater balance within you. You while you still have access to all of that spectacular energy and all that phenomenal wisdom, there is a great reluctance to really reach for it and embrace it totally, because you have the understanding that there was a time where you used that power inappropriately. And so that's a lot of what's going on inside of you at this particular moment in time. There's a feeling here that you're learning how to be more creative within yourself. You're learning how to utilize your creative energy in ways to give messages without actually giving messages. You're trying to find a subtle way of using the wonderful, remarkable gifts you have in a way that you don't have to take credit or blame. but that you still pass on the messages. And that's not going to happen. You have to be able to transcend this fear and take responsibility for the power you have, the gifts you have, and you have to, you need to utilize it in a way that you are giving and that you are not in any way getting in the way of the messages that you're giving. And that's a hard thing to do, but I do think you're going to do it. I feel you struggling with it now. There is a sense here of tippy-toeing around the edges and just using a little piece here and a little piece there and being thrilled with it and then tippy-toeing off and doing something else in another place, but not taking full responsibility for the legacy you hold within you and for the power you hold within you and for the purpose of this lifetime. You're still playing. You haven't come to a point where you're you're not stepping into the power. You're not stepping into what you need to do. You're not stepping into your purpose for this lifetime. And you giggle and you play at it and you're very cute, but you're coming to the end of the time when you're playing. You're going to have to take responsibility and you're going to have to take it pretty soon. So I would say that probably by the time we get into the May and the June time frame, that you are pulling a new balance into your life, taking responsibility. I don't feel that classes or courses or anything like that is really needful. But what I do feel is that you have to understand that I know the cars in Europe they have on their engines something called a governor. They won't let them go, past a certain speed. The universe was not stupid. You have a governor on you this lifetime. You can't screw up. You can't you can't use it for your own power surge or you can't. It won't happen. But if you don't use it, it will be such a sad thing. And so I really feel that it's very, very important for you to start to take these gifts seriously and help you and enable yourself to share the gifts that you have. There's a man in spirit around you. Is your father in spirit or is it your grandfather? I feel a male energy around you. He's very proud of you. He's a very, very strong man. He loves you and loved you very, very much. And he's just waiting for you to, I don't know how old you are, but he wants to know when you're going to stop being a little girl and start being the woman that you were meant to be. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really, really strong man. And he knows that you have so much in you to give, to do. He's aware of the purpose of this lifetime for you, and for some reason you like to pretend you're very naive and very innocent, and you're neither of those, by the way. And sorry. They're under the bus enough.
You can go more. You're doing very well.
I'm afraid so. You're not ditzy. You dumb yourself down in order because you think people will like you better if you're not as smart as you actually are, and that's just wrong. But you don't put yourself in positions to be with people who have the same level of intelligence that you do either. I don't know why you're playing as much as you are, but you are playing. And the time is going to come where you are going to be, the universe will finally, get sick of watching you have fun, and it will put you to work. So that I would say by the time we get to the second half of the year, you are more taking responsibility for your gifts, your talents, and the wisdom that you carry within you. And you're I mean, I'm not saying you're not fun to be around. I know your friends think you are wonderful fun to be around, and they enjoy you. They enjoy you. But you know something? You have a brain in your head, and you're not using it. And your grandfather, I mean, he has a twinkle in his eye. He knows that you've got so much more to do with your life than you're doing now. And I'm not saying that you're not doing good things with your life, because of course you are, but you know that you have a greater purpose in this life. You know that you know, you can only giggle and be cute for a certain number of years, and then it gets old. And you're coming close to that, sweetheart. So let's go back to work here. You're very intelligent. You have writing that should be done. You have channeling that you have to develop. You have and again, you don't need to go to school for any of this. All you need to do is to embrace it and let it take you where you need to be. And the fact that you don't know where you're going is very good, because I don't know where I'm going. None of us do. We feel, you know, we're driven. We know we're working hard at something, but we're not really totally sure what the total picture is, and nobody ever is. But you have to trust the drive that's inside of you. There is a spirit inside of you that is powerful, that is coming real close to saying to you, okay, now we get to work. And I would rather you made that choice than the spirit within, because then it comes a lot easier. Okay? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Wow. I do have a question, though.
Yes?
My global haters, are they going to forgive me one day?
Your global haters?
Yeah. I've got people that really hate me. Are they going to forgive me one day?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think that, first of all, I'm not sure they're global haters, but I do think that because you have been so giggly and flippant and immature about the power you have inside of you, that in some ways people have become resentful of you, and when you start to take on the responsibility that you carry within you, it's not even so much you're looking for forgiveness. It's more that there is a sense of respect. And I think that respect is definitely going to be yours at some point in time. You have to earn it. You have to move into it. You have to grow into it. But once you've done that, then you'll have respect from all those who matter. And if you don't have respect from someone, it means they don't matter. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't go looking to win favor. Let them respect you. That respect is more important.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to win the favor at all. I just question on it. Thank you.
Yeah. respect you will have. Start growing. How old are you?
31.
Oh, my God. Yes, let's start growing up, please. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. I know the 20s were a great time, but, you know, you're over them. And you don't want to go from the 20s into 40, because that will be devastating. So let's just, you know, ease it. Let's ease on down the road and, you know, grow up just a little bit, okay?
I'm working on it. Trust me. It's just taking a while.
I do trust you. I know. Thanks for calling, though.
Thanks for the reading and under the bus. I'm lying on the road squashed, so I'll go and recover now.
but you're still laughing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, we have we have a lovely lady here called Sarah May. Hi, Sarah May. How are you doing?
Hello, Barbara. How are you? I'm very well, thank you. You see, I told everybody I'd been in at nine, and I'm in at nine nearly.
Well, I can't figure out the time zone differences. I thought we were 5 hours or five. Was that four, five, six, seven, eight, nine? Yeah, 4 o'clock here.
Yeah, it changed a couple of weeks ago, didn't it? There's an hour's difference, and I think it'll change again on Sunday because ours will change on Sunday as well.
Ah, okay. Well, that's okay. I ranted and raved for a little while about, you know, one of my...
Sorry, I am...
No, I'm never at a loss for something to say. And, but I'm so glad that you're here. And I think one of the coolest things that I want to get out there, and it's really a good time frame, too, because we're into the show, Sarah May and Ray Booker do a show together on Sundays, and it's a wonderful show. And they are both spectacular mediums, and it's just, I think you two have way too much fun. But other than that...
We do. Wherever I work, Barbara, I have fun. It's the only way to work.
Well, it's a good way to work for sure. So your show is on 12 o'clock Eastern time. What is the show called again?
It's called Spirit of the Radio with Ray and Sarah.
Okay, and those of you that you know listen to the show have heard Ray and have heard Sarah, of course, and you put the two of them together, and it's just phenomenal, and it's a wonderfully enjoyable show, and of course they do readings, which is one of the best parts of it, because somehow when you put two mediums together, you get more than the sum total of their energy, their light, and their wisdom, and they kind of, they work off of each other, which is a really amazing thing, and it makes everybody more insightful and more powerful and more reflective. So I think it's an amazing thing. Normally, actually, this is the first time that you've done the show and Jeannie has been on the show, and Jeannie is my co-host, and it's
yes.
Her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Jeannie.
So I'm going to pull her on the air, and she usually gets a reading, especially on her birthday. So if you would give her her birthday reading.
Hello.
Hello, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm doing much better today. Thank you very much.
I bet you wondered where I was.
Sometimes when it's your birthday.
Yes, it's bittersweet birthday time, isn't it? You know, sometimes you can feel... born full of those you've lost. It's a day where you sort of reflect sometimes, isn't it?
That's right.
And gifts as well. So, Jeannie, are you a really tidy person?
Yeah, I can be, yes.
Because, I mean, I was prepared to come on at 9 o'clock and start the show, but I just think it's tough. I'm surrounded by a little bit of clutter here and I need to move all of this away. And Spirit was telling me it's because somebody that you'll be talking to is really, they wouldn't have any mess around them. And I've got a feeling that it's you, sweetheart. Everything is precise. Everything is concise. There's no stone left unturned. And you do really well. You know, you're very good at organizing and obviously there behind the scenes. But for some reason, I'm wanting to bring you forward. So has there been talk about a show where you will come into the forefront?
That's a lovely idea.
Okay. Well, I don't know why, but they're just telling me about this. Almost like have a little bit of a dabble out front as well. Okay. I do want to give you the name John here as well, Jeannie. Who's John around you?
Oh, there's a long list of them. My father-in-law, my husband, my son.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Well, I'm resonating with John in May here. So does any of them have a birthday in May or connection in May with the John?
Oh, in May. Let's see. I can't think of right off the top of my head. There's 4 or 5 Johns. It's a whole line of them. I'm not sure when. I know when my birthdays are, but like the great grandfather and the I don't know when all their birthdays are.
Okay. Well, I'm being given the 13th of May, so maybe check out that date.
I will.
I also feel like, what am I doing here? I've got a wallpaper chisel thing, and I'm chiseling off wallpaper. So are you decorating at the moment or taking off wallpaper from the walls?
We're thinking about painting, yes.
Yes. But you've got to soft, almost like flatten something down and chip, because there's a rough patch somewhere, they're telling me.
Yeah.
It's probably been annoying you, obviously, with you, the way you like everything to look really good. There's just almost like a protruding patch that I need to sort of level off and sand down. Okay. And it's in a corner. I feel like it's in a lounge, and I feel like it's near a lamp.
Actually, I know exactly what you're speaking of.
Okay. And do you not like the lamp, Jeannie? Because I'm looking at the lamp and I'm cursing, or there's something in that corner other than that patch that you're not very happy with.
I wouldn't know how to describe. It's more of a situation that I'm unhappy with than I am the lamp. You're describing an in particular computer room and office in my house.
Yes. Because I was going to say to you, is it where your computer is? I know obviously we've talked about your lounge, but I felt where the computer was, that's exactly as you have said, right?
Yes.
I feel like I need a smaller computer. I feel like I need to sort of make some more space around that area. And I think this is really easily done. And I think this is something that you think about doing, right? I also, Jeannie, want to give you the name David. Who's David around you?
David around me. I have a next door neighbor, David.
So I wonder if that wall is next door to him. I don't know, but sometimes the spirit will tell me about your neighbors, or they're sort of letting me know who's around you. And I have a rosemary or a rose here.
Rose. Yes, my granddaughter. It's Abigail Rose.
Lovely. Okay. So there's a lady in the spirit world who, is this Mom's sweetheart? Did Mom pass to spirit?
No, my mom's still with us.
I'm not killing her off, by the way. But they're giving me Mom here, Mom. So it's got to be a mom around you, either your mother-in-law or Nan or whatever. But I feel like I'm either with your husband's or ex-husband, I don't know where I'm going here, mother, or something connected upline with you, mother connected with you. Have you got a stepmom or somebody, sweetheart?
No, I don't have I do not have a stepmom. I have a mother-in-law in spirit.
Okay, because I feel like, well, that's probably why I got the step situation. So come on in.
With my mother-in-law, there is a step situation, but it's the children. It's within my husband and his brothers.
Okay, she's talking about Ross. Who's Ross?
Ross. I don't know Ross. A Ross right offhand.
Hold on to that, because she's just said Ross.
Okay.
So Ross is going to come in somewhere. She's showing me a field here as well, and I feel like you need to go out into the country, or you need to be somewhere where you can get away, because you're quite cooped up where you are.
Yeah, pretty much so.
I don't know why, Jeannie, but I get a sense that you may go to Canada.
I don't know that I'd go to Canada. No, I may go the opposite direction here shortly.
Canada, I've got here. So maybe this will be the next vacation, because definitely give me Canada. They give me Ontario. So this one that you're going to, fine, but I feel like there's a trip to Canada, which is probably further afield for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But it will be when you will feel happy, you will want to go there. And I feel like there's a reason for you to go there as well. I don't know whether you're going to meet somebody there or there's going to be some sort of a connection there, but that's what I feel. I think it could be something to do with a little bit about business, I don't know, or something different for you to do, but that's what I'm getting for you. And I feel like it's next year, and I feel like it's around about the month of August. So can you just watch out for that for me?
Oh, most definitely.
Is there anything you want to ask me, Jeannie?
Sure. I have my youngest son who still resides with me. Do you ever see him getting married?
You know, my mother-in-law, my first mother-in-law, she said to her son, my fella's eldest brother, you can stay here until you're 30.
Uh-huh.
And when you're 30, you have to go and get your own place. And he fell in love at 29. And I think if you put this bar there and you give plenty of time and you say, this is the time scale, this is where, you know, it's going to change, I think he's going to adhere to that.
Oh, good.
Just needs to know.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to tell him, he just needs to know. My son, he left home at 20, went to live with his mates, but I had the discussion with him beforehand to say to him, look, Tommy, if you're not happy and you feel like you want to move out, you're absolutely fine to do that. Don't feel, you're not my husband and you're not my dad. So, you know, and I had to have that conversation with him for him to feel it was okay to leave. And within 2 weeks, he said to me, Mom, actually, there is a flat.
Ah.
I think they like to look after us. So we need to tell them. But always, I mean, with all of my children, wherever I live and breathe, there is always a home and a roof for them.
Sure. I agree with that, yeah.
So, yes, I do feel that you need to have this conversation.
Very good.
And doesn't have to get married. You know, he could move out and find his own place. First of all, I feel he'll get his own place, like a flat or something small, and then I feel he will meet somebody.
Okay, good.
All right.
One girl... you know, comes and another one goes, and then, you know, you kind of get stuck for a while.
So, hasn't met the right one.
Thank you, dear. I can attest to a lot of what you've said. Very good.
Okay. Thank you, darling.
No, thank you.
Happy birthday, Jeannie.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeannie.
Bye-bye.
You know somebody so well that sometimes it's hard to read them, so it's kind of fun to sit and listen to somebody else read them and say a lot of the things you were always thinking but never had, you know, but never actually said. So that's really cool. Okay, we've got Lucy in New York. Hi, Lucy. How's it going today? Hello, Lucy. Lucy, are you there? Lucy once, Lucy's twice. We will say goodbye to Lucy. Okay, we've got Leanne in Kentucky. Hi, Leanne, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hello. How can we help today? Hi.
Hi, I just have a question. I have someone from my past that I've always kind of off and on talked to, but we always had someone in the picture, and now we don't. And we're somewhat talking, but I was just wondering if there will be some type of relationship with us because we seem to have somewhat of a connection.
I would say that you probably do have a connection. I think that from what I can see, it's more of a past life connection. I do know that there is a synchronicity, a feeling of belonging one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling that I'm getting is that you were a brother and sister in a past life. So I'm wondering if you're picking up on that or if this is just something genuine that lots of times people who have been brother and sister do become connected and partnered. But my feeling here is that he is for you more of a trigger to wake up some changes that are going on in your life and some new things that are coming into your life, and that his purpose is to be the trigger to wake you up to move forward more than to bind yourself to him. I know he feels the synchronicity. I'm not sure he feels the depth of it that you do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, has he said something to you?
Yes, he just tells me he can't stop thinking about me, and we talked, but it's kind of where it's at right now, and I was just kind of curious because, you know, we've known each other since we were children, but we both married, and, you know, but it's always when someone's not in the picture, we always come right back, and we kind of pop in and out of each other's lives.
Uh-huh. I know that the last relationship you had with him was as a brother and sister, and you were very, very close. That does not say it couldn't be more this lifetime, but I do think that you're at this point building on that past life feeling, and that you need to give this time. And you know, there's certainly possibilities here, but I'm seeing that this being a relationship that leads you to freedom, to birth new aspects of yourself and become a new person. Sarah May, what are you getting?
Fully and completely agree with you there, Barbara. Just been nodding my head here. What's happened is you've had a closeness as children, and this keeps coming back and going and coming back and going, and you've been in marriages and relationships. You both come out, and I feel you need to heal rather than rush into a relationship. And I think there is definitely feelings there, but they're confused feelings. And I do think that it is the moving forward, the sort of feeling comfortable around each other, and almost like walking hand by hand alongside each other for a while, and then I feel you'll be making choices, because I don't think he'll come in as quickly as you want him to. It's a possibility, but I think you might get a bit fed up of waiting, and I think, I'll be honest with you, I'd focus on you. I'd focus on your healing. And almost, I feel like you've got work situations to resolve and sort out as well. So I'd be focusing on your work and try and build yourself and heal. Because I just get the same as Barbara here, to be honest with you. It's a lovely, lovely relationship, and it's honest. He's definitely telling you that he likes you, but he's healing as well.
Okay. Okay, right. Well, thank you.
Pleasure, darling.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye now. Okay, we're going to try Lucy again. Lucy, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
How can we help today?
Okay. Good life foundation. I feel like empty at this point. What you see, how you can guide me?
In life as a whole, is there something else there? I mean, is there a specific area you want us to hit, or?
Okay. Can be financial. Let's go for the financial one.
Okay. from what I'm seeing here with the cards that I put out, it feels like that you're at a point in time where there are changes that are going on in your life, and that you are questioning a lot of things, and that's a good thing. It's always good to question. If people get fed up or don't want to give you answers, then you have an even bigger answer. I do feel that finances are going to loosen up for you. They won't be as tight as they have been. And it does feel here as though there's a need to put a great deal of thought and questioning. Again, I get this questioning. It's a time of questioning. It's a time of this whole year, a time in just making sure that your direction is the appropriate one for you. I think you have dreams that you aren't following. I think that from what I'm seeing here is that you are aimed in directions that maybe don't fit you as well as they could or should. And it looks as though this is a good time for you to really pay attention and to look into just what it is you want to do with your life. I do feel, again, that the finances will open up for you, but it's also going to be a time when you can change your direction and move into directions that more embrace the totality of who you are and what you want to do with your life. What are you getting, Sarah May?
I think she's got a really lovely, sweet energy. Sweetheart, what's your name? Lucy.
Lucy.
Lucy, okay. It's almost like you feel like you've missed the boat, Lucy. It's almost like everything happens to everybody else and you feel like you've missed out. Do you understand? And I've got a lady here, and I've got quite bad pains around my chest, but going into my lower back as well. It feels very painful around that area. And this lady is talking about the month of June as being relevant around birthdays or passings. Do you understand this, sweetheart?
Okay. I think my father was, my father lives in another country. He was having an operation today. I'm calling today, but they no answering. I'm still waiting because it was a big operation. That's the pain that you're having today.
So maybe. I've got your dad's pain. Yes, I think often when you read for somebody, they know. When you give them the information, they know. And it's often the first thought that comes into your head, it is right. So I think there's probably obviously a lot of worry around this. And a feeling with you of, you feel like you could do more, but you can't. Do you understand? I mean, I know this is the case with obviously finding out how he is. But there's a feeling of wanting to do more, but you can't. And I just feel, with you, you've been stopped a lot from doing things. And I think it's your time now to look forwards in a different way. And there's like a job coming in around you, which is something that you probably wouldn't normally do. And it's a little bit more than you would normally do. I feel like it's caring. I feel like you are a carer. Do you understand? So it just feels like there's something coming for you, materialising behind the scenes. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in our lives that we're unaware of. And for some reason, I want to give the 4th of August. Do you understand this date?
August?
4th.
Oh, my God.
August 4th. Do you understand, yeah?
No, I will have to think about it.
Think about it, okay, because that's quite relevant with you. And I feel an 8 is very lucky for you, an 8. So look out for something happening on the 8th. It might not be August, it might be before then, but there's a severing of a contract with you. I feel like a contract is severing, and I feel like there's new beginnings from that, and that probably is connected around your working life. Because I feel you could probably earn more and, you know, feel that you are getting the recognition of your worth. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah? And
yes.
I want
yes.
you to believe that you are worthy. Okay.
You want me to, okay.
Mm-hmm. You are worthy. You are worthy of more money and you are worthy of a better job.
Okay, yes. I just got a promotion and same time at the same time was a promotion from last year, but at the same time this year I did not so good report of what I did last quarter or this year, and it's confusing. Yeah.
It is.
But I feel that if I don't really focus on what I have now, even though I focus, I think it's good, but it's going away because sometimes it's too much. It's like they want me to do this, they want me to do that.
Yes, I
and
agree with you.
And adding to the job at the same time, they're giving us less time, more to do. And
yeah.
Then I will be working 10, 12 hours for like 8 hours. We're supposed to do 7 hours, and then it's 8 to 12 hours, and I'm still there doing it.
Are you working with people, sweetheart, caring for people?
Excuse me?
Are you caring for people?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a change, and I think that you believe in you and your worth. You know you're good enough, but there's a time when you need to say, I'm sorry, but you're taking too much from me. And I think you'll move on. I think you're too loyal, and I think you need to be loyal to yourself. So there's changes coming in there for you. Okay.
Yes. Okay. That
okay, darling.
Good.
Okay,
thank
well,
you.
Thank you for calling, Lucy. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Blaine. Hi, Blaine, are you there?
Hi. This is Selena. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, goodness. I just have the wrong name on the switchboard. Hi, Selena, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I think you couldn't hear me very well. There was a lot of noise in the background before, but now it's clear.
Okay. We've read you already?
No, you haven't.
Oh, okay.
I had a question. Today at work, I work at a school, and I'm, you know, in the process of, I'm at the end of my education of becoming a teacher and stuff, and I've been at the same school for years now, and I have a really good rapport with the students and the teacher, and today I have Seth I worked with, and he gave me a great compliment about me with the kids and stuff, and then there was a situation with another substitute teacher today with another teacher, and I just felt immediately a little bit jealous because they're a sub and I'm not there yet, teaching yet. It's just so frustrating, and I just had so many obstacles, you know, in the past couple of years, and so I just wanted to see if you see a clearing coming soon in regards to that.
Well, first of all, I think you're a born teacher. I think that's amazing, and I think that, you know, it's a good thing that you're going into teaching. But, you know, I do feel strongly that your abilities and your capabilities are going to be noticed, and you know, in school systems, they really do note people who have a gift and a talent, and it's not the personality, you know, of the people as much as their ability to teach the children that counts. So I think that you just have to bide your time. You know, you've taken your time in getting to this place, and I think you've done very, very well. And from what I can see, it feels as though it's strange because I know school gets over in June, and yet I'm seeing from the July time frame on there is new commitment and there's a foundation and you're evolving into, you know, finding home career-wise so that I do believe you will get there. But, you know, it's you've taken a very circuitous path to get to where you are, but this is what you really – It feels as though this is what you really belong to be doing. So,
I guess I feel a little bit, today for a slight moment, I felt a little bit impatient and maybe a little bit jealous because it's like I'm right here at the end. It just seems like I keep just going through all these obstacles. I know in my heart that this is where I should be, and I feel it, and, you know, I feel like this is my calling to do. I love what I do, and, you know, I love helping.
Yeah, no,
I feel like I'm making a difference.
There is a foundation as of August, so I think that by August you will have a permanent, nothing's permanent, but you will have a contract for a job. You know, teaching is not as permanent as once it was. But you certainly will have a job. There's a foundation here, and it does feel as though you're going to do very, very well. Sarah, what are you getting?
Yes. I'm just nodding as you're talking, to be honest with you, Barbara. It's so lovely to hear you work. you know, I just can't – I don't know how I can – what I will say to you is, you know, when we feel like we've got a lot of resistance, Selena, and we feel like we're not getting anywhere and it's a big drag and it feels really negative, it's often then that we're actually making the most progress because it's helping us to make decisions and move us forwards. And I think you basically all you need is recognition from the people that you're hiring you or the people that are around you to tell you, yes, you are on track. Yes, you are definitely good enough, and that, you know, that you don't lose sight of your goal, because that's your goal and you will achieve that goal. Who's Graham around you, sweetheart?
Excuse me?
Who's Graham around you?
Graham. I don't know a Graham.
Right. He will be prominent with you. He will be a person who will be prominent in making a difference for you. A gentleman by the name of Graham. Right. I do feel like he's a suited kind of gentleman, and he looks like a professor of some sort to me. That's the feeling that I get, but maybe in adult education. So just watch out for him. I just feel like he's going to be relevant for you. But it's there for you. Don't lose sight of it. Just believe in yourself.
Well, I do. I just always wonder with the people that I work with, do they really see what I do and maybe even appreciate what I do? I mean, I try to go over and above, you know, what my job title is, because, you know, in my heart, I'm just fully, you know, there to help.
Don't be a people pleaser. Continue doing what you do, and that is enough. I really think that we are our own judges. We know whether we've done well or not done well. I mean, obviously, when we're training, we don't know, you know, all of the ins and outs of it, so we're learning. But I would be your judge. And if the others, you don't know the personalities of these other people. They may not be giving gracious people. So it doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. It's about you and the sort of what you have with the children. Just enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and it's the children that you're there for.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that anything has ever topped seeing. I taught special ed for 25 years, and every now and then, when somebody really got what I was teaching them, the brightness, the light in their eyes, I mean, that was the greatest reward that you could possibly ever get.
Yes.
It was like you've opened a whole new world to them. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I really didn't care what anybody said, because it was the relationship you have with the children that you're there for, and what you can teach them, and what you can open them to, and you have the ability to give them the tools to enrich their life for their entire life. I mean,
yes.
What greater gift? I mean, aside from life, what greater kind of gift could you possibly give them? You know, the tools,
yes,
to become anything they want to be. My goodness, I mean, that's got to be the best of all possible worlds. Absolutely. So, you know, not everybody has the same kind of fire in them that you do. And, you know, you're the kind of person that belongs in a classroom. 90% of the people in classrooms do not belong there. So
you're right. You're absolutely right. I just wondered if, you know, if sometimes you feel you need recognition from your peers. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, because I'm mainly focused on the children. You're right. I get that from them, and I get excited when they get it. You know, it's just sometimes, mm-hmm, I feel like, do the teachers understand what I'm doing? Do they get it? Does, you know, my peers see what I'm doing? Am I well respected? You know.
But, you know, it doesn't matter. And the reality is that a lot of the people that you're going to be comparing yourself to have already been in the classroom for so long they're burned out. So have a good time.
Yeah, I would say judge people not by the word. Pretend that they can't speak and look at their mannerisms. Look at the way they're looking at you. Are they admiring you? Are they smiling at you? Do it that way. I mean, I read a book years ago with teaching children and being a parent of children. It's the silent word and the nod and the wink and the smile is so much more, because they internalize it. If you just look at a child and smile at them because you know that they've achieved, you're not clouding them with words. And I do that with my children quite a lot. And I think the same can be the case with adults. Look at the adults you're dealing with. Pretend they can't speak. Look at their mannerisms. Look at the way they're looking at you. And I think you will learn a lot from that.
Okay.
Okay,
Dan. Very good advice.
Thank you.
So thank you for calling. Take care now.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got Laura in New Jersey. Hi, Laura. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I have a question, although before I get to that question, I just had a tiny little minute little feather float down in front of me, and I was just wondering who that was from.
I will turn that right over to Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. Sometimes it's guides and spirit confirming to you. Sometimes it's your family members. But it's almost like it's your turn. Do you know what I mean? You've got the feather come down, and all of a sudden you're on the radio talking to us. So it's about divine timing, I feel, to be honest with you, Laura. So I do get a gentleman in the spirit world that links around you, and I feel that he had problems around the ear and the eye. Do you understand this gentleman that almost like had pain in his eye and a problem with his right ear?
No, I don't know who that is.
Okay, he feels like an older gentleman, so he would go in maybe a generation or a couple of generations up. But it feels to me he's talking about the month of November here, so who's got birthdays or passings in the month of November?
Oh, I don't know who's got birthdays in... If they do, it's probably extended members of the family that I don't know.
Okay, there may be a reason why he's come through, though, because he's showing me his right arm, and it's almost like... he would give you his right arm, do you understand? So he's quite supportive. And I just feel maybe around you that you're needing some support, that you feel that you just that arm around you just to say to you that it's okay, that there are people around you that would give. Do you understand? Because I don't know whether you've had some sort of altercation with somebody and you've been upset about something recently.
Well, I don't feel appreciated on the job where I'm at. I'm doing good work, but I still don't feel like I'm being appreciated because they're just working me to death, and I'm doing the work of two people. But it's a temporary assignment, so my stress factor is my contract is ending in June. And I'm hoping to get a permanent job, and I want to move. I want a big change this year because I'm really tired of living here where I'm at. I've been here 8 years, and I don't feel nurtured at all where I'm living. I just need, I want a change, a complete change in my life, and I'm stressed over that, I guess.
Yeah, it seems to be a common thing today with a lot of the people that are coming on the show. It's obviously a common thing, common energy coming into the show today. Do you work in a call centre, or are you connected around a lot of telephone calls, Laura?
No, I don't think so. I don't feel that. It's not a call centre, no.
But I just feel something like that, where there's a lot of people, a lot of telephone calls.
It's a corporation, so yeah, there would be a lot of calls for business.
That's it. Okay. I knew I was there somewhere. I just needed you to be with me with it. So, and it just feels like you're a needle in a haystack there. And I'm not saying that you are, but it may be your feeling. And I feel like there'd be something similar, but it'd be connected around a bank. And something to do with finance. But I feel your real role is coming in November.
My real role is coming in November. Do you have any idea where I would be moving to?
I think, first of all, you need to... It feels to me like there's a role coming up for you where you're going to earn more money, so you can save a little bit of money, okay? Now, where are you moving to? Let's just have a look. Well, they've just shown me a car here, and it looks like a black car. Who's got the black car, sweetheart?
Nobody that I know.
Is it a Corvette or something? I mean, I don't know American cars, but I can see a black Corvette.
A black
and
Corvette.
It's in a sunny street. There is almost like apartments and there's like a bend. So I can see these apartments, and I think you're going to live either in a house near those apartments or there. And I want to give you the name Victoria. I don't know whether Victoria is an area or the name of a road, but just watch for that name Victoria coming up for you. It feels nice. It feels sunny. It feels warm. It feels happy. But it's not quite yet. It's not quite yet. But it's definitely something to work towards.
Are they giving you an idea of what kind of job or what kind of company I would be working for?
Banking and finance, but I mean, you're working in corporate at the moment. It would be more of a autonomous job whereby you feel like you know who you are, you know what you're doing, you know that that's your role. I feel there would be incentives, and I feel it would be the kind of company that would appreciate you and look after you.
Okay.
It's not quite yet, though, sweetheart. It's not quite yet. Got to give it 5 or 6 months before this comes in. Meanwhile, just work and earn and save and work towards your goal.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I want to jump in here just a second, too. I feel there's really, with this, and I do feel there's a new job here, it has an international flavor to it. So there's it's an international organization of some sort. It's not just United States-based. It feels... not only does it have Europe, but it has Asia as well. So there's an international connection here of some sort. And I would absolutely go along with Sarah as to the time frame. I do feel there's more compensation coming in here for you. And the feather as well, pardon me, for me, was a signal from a guardian angel that your prayers had been heard and are going to be answered, but you need patience. And you know, I hate the word patience, but you get to the point where it's how much patience do you really want any one person to have? But the reality is here, you're going through some shifts and changes, and there's reorganization going on around you. I feel there is a new job coming in, and more towards the end of the year, not only will you have it, but pardon me. It may involve some small amount of travel as well. So it's going to be well worth waiting for.
Is there going to be a gap in employment because my contract is supposed to end in June?
I don't feel a gap. Excuse me. I feel that your contract is going to be extended. There's going to be an extension.
Oh, that would be perfect then. That would mean I could get right into my permanent job because I need to save some money.
Yes.
All right. Oh, thank you very much. That makes me feel so much better. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye now.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Kathleen in Connecticut. My voice is going on me. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing better for sure. How can we help?
All right. Barbara, we've met before.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Well, I have the rescue in Bethany.
Oh, okay.
The horse rescue. What I want to do, I guess I'm toying with the idea of completely changing the way we do things on the farm. A lot of things have happened in the past year, and I want to take it in a new direction. Still as a rescue, but with a lot of things added. I just would like some insight if there's anything anybody... Because I'm...
Sure.
I'm nervous about change, but I need to do something.
Well, you certainly in your life have done a dramatic number of different changes. Let me just fill in a little bit. Kathleen runs the most amazing farm that I've ever been to. She rescues horses. She rescues everything, and people too. So, and she is so generous with her time and her efforts. She rescues horses, and she does workshops with handicapped children with the horses, and she does all sorts of amazing things. So I can understand you feeling the need for change, for sure. I'm going to let Sarah go first. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay.
The minute I heard your name, Kathleen, I got aches and pains around my elbows, coming down from the elbows down my arms, and then I felt like I got pains in the chest. Okay, and I think it's spirit just coming close to me. All right. I do want to give you the name Peter here. Do you know who Peter is?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Am I on the sideline here? Go on.
That's funny because I've been hearing the name Peter a lot lately, and I have no idea what it's about.
Okay.
So not a clue, but I started hearing it last week, and I've yet to figure out what it's about.
So that's how I'm resonating with you then. So I'm hearing it too now. So let's just try and figure out what's going on with you. This sounds something that you probably wouldn't do, but I feel of not being at the farm for a while. Okay, and it's almost like, oh, she's not going to do that. How dare you say that? Is there a course or something that you want to go on personally, so that you can train to do something, so they can use it separately to what you're doing on the farm?
A course that I want to do?
A course. Something that you're going to train in.
Actually, it was more, I was thinking along the lines of training other people on
interesting.
The farm.
Interesting. Because that's where I felt get you off. So if you're training other people, then you're going to give yourself a little bit of time so you can spend time focusing on other things. Right, and if you're doing that, I don't know whether you've got to be certificated for it or what you need to do, but I feel like you're coming away and you're having some sort of a course, you're doing a course, okay, where you will be certificated. But I also feel like your heart is there, your soul is there. What a beautiful lady you are. Look at what you're doing. But what about you? Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody forgets about you, and I just feel that, and it's not even close to where you're living, it's almost like you've got to travel in the car to go here and do this, and there may even be a course, another course that you want to do when you've taught people or you're teaching people that is separate. Okay. I feel like you're a healer, darling.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you'll travel doing healing, surgery of some sort, like it's surgery, Reiki, but not where you are, almost like, or even the farm situation that you've got, turning it into business and teaching others how to do it in different areas.
Okay.
Understand, that's what I feel. Who's Linda around you?
I'm sorry?
Linda.
Not close.
Right. She's going to help you.
Okay.
Can't do this on your own. I feel like you need somebody. And who's cut their hand in between their thumb and their first finger?
Oh, Jesus. It could be anybody. It's probably my husband. But we're always cut. We do most of the work ourselves. So
I feel sore in between my thumb and my first finger, right in there. It feels really sore. Okay, so they're just telling me about this. And who's Tracy or Stacy?
Stacy. She would be, she's a friend of mine. She's also our horse vet.
Ah, now I want to go towards Stacy here for some reason. So maybe she's got a load of ideas bubbling in her head and she hasn't actually said what they are, and there could be a conversation between the two of you which will spark something to begin.
Okay.
There are changes coming for you and you know you're ready for them.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because you're leaving where you've been, because you'll never do that, because your heart is there. You will make sure it's all looked after, but there's changes now for you and there's time for you now to learn and train, because you've got such a wealth of intelligent knowledge that you want to use it, and you need the change, and it's coming in for you. Somebody's got a pain in the top of their head as well. Who in the spirit world had a problem with their head?
in the spirit world. So I'm going down my list of people. Everybody's on the other side.
Oh, you've got a lot of people over there. I've got a pain top right-hand side lobe of my head, and I'm rubbing it.
Oh, Lordy.
Is Mum up there, sweetie?
Pardon?
Is Mum up there?
Yes. Yeah, everybody is.
Right.
She was heart disease. So is my father. I'm just going down the list of grandparents now.
I had heart problems and I had arm problems. My arms were really aching from the elbows down and I had heart problems. So I feel this was your mom. Okay. She's raising her eyebrow. She's almost like doing the rock, raising her eyebrow. Almost like I've got a frozen face, but I raise my eyebrow. That's what she's doing. Almost like lifting the eyebrow. So she's got quite a personality coming through here.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like she wouldn't be shy. You know, she would be quite forthcoming and she was quite vocal. She would tell you what was going on, do you understand? And
right.
She's just telling me April's quite relevant here. She's talking about April. She's giving me number 17. She's also telling me about a bad hip on the right hand side. So this is either her or somebody around you.
No, that's me.
Okay, so she knows all about your hip and she's giving it a rub for you, and I'm just going to put a little bit of healing in there for you as well. And she's making me feel like she's saying to you, you're stopping yourself. Stopping yourself, she's saying. And there's no guilt factor here. You shouldn't feel guilty for wanting to achieve more, because you achieving more is you giving more to others. Do you understand? So it's almost like she's got a thumb up, okay? And she's showing me a ring here as well. In fact, two rings, but they would have been worn on the right hand and not the left hand.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm thinking of what the second one would be. I'm thinking I know what one is.
Is the one missing? Was the one lost?
Yeah.
The ring of diamond.
Yeah, that one, it was stolen.
Yes. She told me diamond, and that's, I understand that, and she said, don't worry about it, darling, let it go. It's only a ring. It's a sentiment that it was given to you. That's what it's about. It's how the ring arrived on your hand. But the way that it was taken, it doesn't matter. Okay? So don't worry about it. All right. She's also talking about Stephen.
Really?
Yes.
What does she have to say about that?
Well, I don't know, really. I've got a pain in my ankle, if that helps. I get all these pains. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I should call 999 or 991. But I won't do that. I'll just get sectioned, no doubt. She's laughing, but she's a bit frustrated around him. So I'm tutting a little bit around this, Stephen. Do you understand? That's the feeling that she's giving me.
Okay.
You know how you shake your head in disapproval?
Uh-huh.
So don't know what he's been doing or what he's done, but I feel like money went here, because I've got particularly on my left hand here, on my palm of my left hand, and that feels to me like money went. This is around him or around you, but money went. You understand?
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in your past you need to let go, okay? And I see a white horse with a lot of grey on it as well, and I feel this is a really special horse.
Yes.
I love that horse. It's very spirited.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? And
she's gorgeous.
She's a gorgeous, gorgeous horse. Gentle.
Yep.
You know how a dog will put their paw on you? It's almost like she'd lift her paw up. Do you understand?
That horse? The horse?
Well, yes, that's what I feel. That's what I can see, a paw being lifted up on the right side.
Horses don't have paws. They have hooves.
Oh, sorry, hoof, whatever.
I went to dog when you said paw. I got lost.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, I was saying a dog lifts a paw up, but it's like that. It's like the horse lifts, what is it, a hoof up or whatever.
Hoof, yes.
She's going to look, there's something wrong with that right hoof.
Uh-huh.
Got stone or something in a hoof, I think.
Okay.
I got to jump in here.
Oh, sorry, Barbara. There you go, Tanya.
No, that's okay. I've been sitting here. First of all, you're right. Things are changing. And
okay.
and the element of you knowing that you have to expand but not exactly knowing how to do it is very appropriate here. You are an animal communicator. And
yeah.
You already read their feelings and yada, 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 but you don't really totally communicate with them yet. There is a woman who lives in, it's either California or Washington State, I'm not sure which it is, and she is the most amazing teacher from animal communicators ever, and I will get her name for you. She teaches classes. You have to go to her place to take the workshops, but there's a part of you that keeps saying, well, I know what they feel and I know what they think, I think, but I don't really think I have that kind of ability to really talk to them, though you do talk to them. You just, on that level, you're not secure that you really do communicate with them. And
okay.
I do believe you do. And I'm going to, she's an author, she's written a cool book or two, and I will get you her name and I will call you with the information because you have a talent and a capacity that you wish you had, you frequently wish you had it, but, and you thought you might, but you weren't real sure. And so you've gone back and forth about, yeah, I know I'm around them a lot, but, and the reality is you can communicate with them to a far deeper, greater, degree than you already do in now. And if once you refine that talent and that gift, you can help so many people and horses and dogs and cats and pigs and, I don't know, just not the slimy stuff. But I'm not a snake person. I'm sorry. We did a blessing of the animals once, and somebody brought a snake in, and I said, you can just leave it in the box. I'll bless the box. Yeah, not my kind of animal. But if you can't cuddle it in some way, shape, or form, there's no purpose to it. But what I'm feeling here is that there are some legal things that are going to get taken care of in the August time frame. I feel that you are right on the precipice of new beginnings and all sorts of ways of stretching yourself and expanding your own capabilities. I mean, you have an amazing heart and you care for animals tremendously, but it feels to me that this is an element that from my point of view you would have evolved and developed long ago, but I don't know what the doubt factor is in you, but I do know that you really dream about animals. They talk to you in your dreams. And I would please develop this talent and skill so that you're very confident that you can do all sorts of wonderful healing things with animals if you're able to tune into them and to really communicate with them. And I feel that your skill and your talent and your gift is much greater than you give yourself credit for. Is that
okay.
Something that would appeal to you?
Well, yeah, I kind of do it all day, in a way. My whole day is just consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot. I do hear a lot. It's there are definitely higher levels, that's for sure. So.
And it feels to me that you'd be able to help some animals that have anxieties. You'd be able to help them calm them so that they wouldn't have to be surrendered, so that they could stay where people love them and function within families, so that they wouldn't need to be taken away and put someplace else and stuff like that. So that you would be able to help animals, maintain their life so that they don't have to be given up and surrendered and stuff like that. So that you could take it, I'm not seeing you letting go of the farm. I mean, that would be ridiculous. But I do feel it branching out and stretching into new directions and new areas. It's not time for you to really have the plans in front of you. Just be open to the fact that you're going to be approached by people and there's some sort of contract that's going to be signed as you get it to the end of the summer. And it feels as though the money is going to flow a lot better. I'll give you the name of this person because this would be, in some ways, a nice source of some added income for you.
Okay. Okay.
So, so that would be exciting. Okay?
Yep. We just need to kind of, you know, it's been the same thing for years and years, and I'm in my 50s. It's time to start thinking about trying different things and not just the same old thing. No, the farm is never, I'm never leaving the farm.
No.
But I have to do different things with the farm and with the animals. So
there's also a very strong Native American pull here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember when I was there, I was seeing all sorts of Indian stuff and Native American stuff. You might want to contact some of the local Native American folk, and you know, you have places there where they could do ceremony that would be profoundly energizing for the animals, the property, for you, and you have a lifetime or two when you were a shaman, so that studying the Native American shamanism might be something that you might want to get into.
Right, that would be interesting. Definitely. You could feel it all over the farm. There's so much Native American influence here. It's true. So,
if there are any that are local that you could talk to about studying with, I would highly recommend it. Or even, you know, do some research yourself. And there actually is. Actually, there is a wonderful shaman that Bear recommended to Angela, who's I brought her to the farm, and she has taken some amazing shamanistically oriented workshops with him, and he's here in Connecticut.
Oh, cool!
So I'll get his name too.
All right, excellent.
Okay,
that sounds great.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you so much. It was nice speaking with both of you. Thank you so much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, one more. We've got Sonia. Hi, Sonia. How are you doing? Hello, Sonia. Hello, Sonia.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, hi.
Hi. How can we help you?
I had a relationship question.
Sure.
I'm involved with someone for a number of years right now, and it's a female. But I am starting to get afraid of this person, I mean, believe it or not. You can't reason with her. You know, simple things, she gets mad over everything. And today there was an episode of a painting that she did in the ceiling, and it wasn't the right roller, and she got so angry that she destroyed the shower curtain, threw things apart. I mean, my sister was in the house at the time because she's visiting, and she wanted to know what's going on in there. Did she hit you? I said no. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, so I just, you know, wanted to see what you're picking up.
Well, it feels like she has a lot of issues going on, that she's very angry inside, and that anything will trigger her into an outburst. It feels like she's chemically imbalanced. Is she taking any medication of any sort?
Yeah, she's taking something for the thyroids and the blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't do it. I think that this is... How long have you been with her?
10 years.
Wow. I think that she has some major medical issues. I'm not saying she's going to die, and I'm not saying she's horribly, horribly sick, but mm-hmm. there feels as though there is a lot of denial here. So something is going on in her life that she is denying, and she's not coping with it, and it's coming out in anger spurts that are inappropriate. I would strongly urge you to get her to the doctor. Sarah, what do you think?
Oh, I have, and that's the other part of the issue too, financially. I mean, I'm better off financially than her. So she doesn't have an insurance. She's trying to get insurance. you know, she goes to most doctors than I know and trips to the emergency room. That's not going to solve the problem. And very high medical bills. So going to the doctor is not the issue. But she does need to get, you know, the insurance. And she's trying to, I'm trying to help her now get that as well.
In England, Sonia, we have what's called MIND, and it's more for the mental side of things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with her or predicting that or you know, saying that that's the case, but it's like it is a chemical imbalance, and it feels like she's fighting and arguing with herself. And I think the more she tries to resolve it, the more anxious she gets, and there isn't a quick fix. Because each doctor isn't fixing this, which, you know, isn't happening. I think she's very aware of her behaviour. I think maybe if you've got a route on the on that side in America, go down that route, or maybe look on the internet for, you know, for what she's got, you know, the symptoms that she's got. We can't just make excuses. You are living in this situation as well, so
no,
you know,
but she doesn't listen to me. Nothing that I said. Do you want to go to a group therapy? She told me today, oh, I don't know why I get like that. You know, my mother used to be that way. Blah blah blah. But you're taking it out on me. You know what I'm saying? And all I try to do is help you. Sometimes I'm scared that she's gonna throw whatever she has in her hand and hit me in my face. And she has. That's always her route. She's gonna threaten me. She said, you know what? I'm gonna break all the walls. Next is your computer. You know, I don't care if I break the windshield in your car, you know, and things like that. And
well,
she,
you know, it feels like, you know, she's angry, and you know, it might be a good idea for you to take a break. And is it possible? I mean, you're with her. Is it your house or apartment, or is it hers?
Yes, it's my house.
Then ask her to leave.
Yeah.
Or get help.
I don't know anywhere else she'll have to go, you know.
Then she'll have to figure out how to modify her behavior.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, if you don't take action, you're just saying it's okay for you to act this way, and she'll continue.
Mm-hmm. And you can either be a martyr or make a sacrifice, in other words.
Yeah.
I know. If I try to tell her, she says, oh, no, this is, she tries to turn it into my fault. That,
well, that's okay.
You know, because...
But the reality here is it doesn't matter who gets blamed. The important thing is that she find help in some way, shape, or form. And if it has to be through a state agency, then there are state agencies. There are places where people who don't have money can get mental help. I mean, this is just because you have a problem, you know. Usually, I have found that when people have a difficulty or they're going through a difficult time in their life, and you say to them, you know, you really could stand a little bit of therapy here. If they're healthy, they'll say, well, you're the second person to tell me that. Maybe I'll check it out, and they do. But when people are seriously troubled and have serious problems, they'll tell you you're crazy, you're the crazy one, and you know, and it sounds to me like she's in that category. But I would be very, you know, you're giving yourself, you're raising red flags, you're telling yourself what is actually going to happen. At some point in time, she will lose it, she will damage the house, she will damage the car, she will damage you if she doesn't take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do try to get out of her way and not do things to trigger it. But I'm like, I even told her now, you know, let me get out of here because I'm scared. She's like, oh, whatever. Scared of what?
Well, again, unless you really take a stand, pack her bags and put them on the porch, she's going to continue. This is a snowball. This is something that will roll and roll and roll and get worse and worse and worse over time. So it's a tough place to be, and I really, you know, wish I could say, oh, it's going to be all, you know, sunshine and flowers, but that's not the case. This is a chance for you to to make a stand so that she has to take care of it so that you can continue in a relationship, or that she has to go someplace else because the relationship isn't working this way.
Right. And yeah. I've tried to help her in every possible way, but, you know, this is why do you have to act that way, you know? You think you're the only mm-hmm. one that has problems. And
Well, it sounds like it's really beyond her control. It sounds like she needs help. And you don't have the credentials, nor do we, to diagnose it or say what's really, really wrong. But when something is this wrong and it's getting this violent, it will go to the next stage.
Oh, you mean like she's going to hurt me or something?
Well, I think she'll hurt something else before she hurts you, but you're probably on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she feels like she's driven most people away already.
Yeah. She always finds fault with me. I'm the one that I don't have really friends and all, that she gave away 10 years of her life by staying with me, that she lost 10 years of her life, that she has nothing. And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's not true. She does have you, and it sounds like you've been a very good friend, among other things.
Yeah.
So, I would get someone. I would, if I were you, I would go see someone and get professional advice as to how to handle this.
Yes.
Because this is not something that you ask a psychic about. This is somebody you ask a professional about, and they can give you the kind of advice that you really need.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good
night,
darling.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so glad you showed up.
I had every intention of showing up.
Oh, I know you did. I know you did. And we'll get our time straight so that next time you get to be on for the whole 2 hours.
Yes, I think I owe you one, Barbara. So
no problem. It was funny because it was sort of inspired to talk about stuff that, there wasn't time at another time. So you gave me the perfect opportunity to say what I was feeling about some stuff. And then you showed up and we had a show. So it was great.
Yeah. Well, I'll listen back, Barbara. So, and thank you so much for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, I am so glad that, that I made the connection with you. And I want everybody to remember Spirits of the Radio. It's on Sundays. It's on at 12 o'clock Eastern time. I'm not sure what time it's on.
8 p.m. actually, 8 p.m. on Sundays in the UK. So,
okay.
But I think it might change this weekend because Mother's Day here on Sunday.
Ah.
I think the clocks change on that day.
So, all right. Well, the name of the show is Spirits of the Radio. So please check it out because both Ray and Sarah are amazing mediums, and they're worth the trip. And since you only have to travel to Blog Talk Radio to listen to them, it's not that far.
Thank you, Barbara. We'd love to have you on our show too.
Oh, I'd love that.
We would too.
That would be fun. Just let me know. I'll be there.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Sarah, so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. It's been an amazing show, and I will be back next Monday. I'm not sure who's on. I think it's Jen Young, but check it out. And thank you for being here. It's been lovely talking to everyone, and thank you all those who were listening and those who called in, and, of course, the mighty chat room as well. Take care, and I will see, talk, listen to you on Monday. Bye-bye.